Here is Jason Quick. He's a little early today because, well, we're off for Duck basketball a little bit later. So thanks for being nimble for us on the schedule. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing great, guys.
Good. How's Damian Lillard doing? I know he's got an elbow injury. What's going on there?
Yeah, the team says he's questionable for tomorrow's game. My sense is that he's going to play. After talking to him last night, he said he got his elbow kind of caught up in some arms fighting for a rebound at the end of last night's game, and it kind of tweaked it the wrong way. But he's had that before. If you remember watching games where he gets his elbow kind of tied in with guys and it almost like hyperextends, but I think he's going to play tomorrow. He really wasn't that concerned with it last night after the game.
Any chance that you sit him knowing that, you know, with the Nuggets coming up, or does that not play into anything at this time of the year?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think this team's good enough to be able to have that luxury where they can say, oh, Charlotte, we can beat them. So I think you just play a guy if he's able to play.
Hey, is he getting a little extra whiny with the officials this year?
Oh, my. Yes. I think in all my years of covering the Blazers, I can't remember a player, maybe outside of Rasheed Wallace, that argues and debates with officials. Now, it reached a head, I think, or its apex against Golden State shortly after Christmas here in Portland, where he got the tee late in the game.
And yeah.
I don't know if someone talked to him or not. Since then, he has really toned it down. But leading up to that Golden State game, he was really it was really unbecoming, I think. You know, just pleading his case after the first half, after game, staying on the court to talk to the officials. And I think it was getting to the point, much like Rasheed, where it was becoming a distraction to his game because he was becoming so consumed by the officiating and pleading his case that it was taken away from his mindset of the game and the game plan and what he needs to do. But to his credit, I think the last two or three games, he's really kind of gotten away from that and concentrated more on the game. But that's one thing that I mean to kind of corner him and talk to him and say, hey, did someone say something to you, or did something happen after that Golden State game? Because it's been a marked difference since he got that tee late in the game.
Interesting. Yeah, because it looked like at the end of that too, he was maybe going round and round with Stotts a little bit at the end of that. Was that true, or did I see that wrong? I was watching that, and it was kind of like, I don't think he wanted to be benched.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But I think the game was out of hand at that point, and I don't remember that, Isaac. I wasn't kind of
okay. Well, we don't need to make anything more of it, but I do. You know, I've texted back and forth with you and some other people about him. He does seem to really be up on the officials this year. I don't know why he does it. Sounds like we'll just have to wait for your report from when you talk to him. But
do you think there might just be a level of frustration? I mean, not like we know that he can be sensitive. I mean, mm-hmm. he just is. And, you know,
well, they all are.
Like, I understand that, but he may be a little bit more so, but rightfully so. Like, what, sixth in the West among guards, right? Doesn't feel like he gets the respect. Maybe a bit frustrated with some of the early exits. We know that, you know, he's had at least conversations in the past about wanting to do it here, but ultimately wanting to win. You know, do you think that there is a chance that maybe some of the respect or maybe some of the frustration, you know, is boiled up a little bit?
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think that's the form, because he gets a lot of calls, and historically he gets to the line with the best of them in the NBA. I think he was eighth last year in free throw attempts, and there hasn't been a marked shortage in him getting to the line this year. So I think if he is frustrated, that's the wrong tool to use it in complaining to the officials to the degree that he has at times. So, but again, my sense is that someone got to him and said, hey, you need to tone that down. You know, they have Don Vaden on the payroll, who was a former NBA ref who kind of helps them with the intricacies of foul calls and how to maybe manipulate officials and stuff. And maybe Don, you know, pulled him aside and said, this isn't doing you any good, or there's a better way to do this. That's my sense. I don't know. Again, I've been meaning to kind of corner him and have that conversation, because I don't want to bring that up in front of everyone. But I'm going to be curious to see what he says.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to get an advantage, just like all these guys do. LeBron's always barking. I mean, they just, you know, that's just kind of how it works. And but it does seem like he's doing it more. So we'll wait to hear on that. Now, speaking of bringing it up in front of everyone, now I'm going to play some audio here. This is Fun with Audio with Jason Quick, our Blazers fan insider from The Athletic. And you should subscribe. He does great stuff. This is Jason with Terry Stotts. And what was this game when you were asking about CJ? Was this after the Warriors game?
After the Oklahoma City game.
Ah, okay. So this is about 45 seconds. Take a listen.
Terry, what do you make of CJ's play this year?
I think he's given good effort. He's probably not shooting the ball as well as he would like or we would like. But, you know, I think he's competing. He was guarding Westbrook. Unfortunately for CJ is people are going to tie his play into how he's shooting the ball. And, you know, he hasn't shot the ball as well as we expect or as he expects. So, unfortunately, I don't think that's the sole determinant of how he's playing this year.
So, I mean, the kind of saying goes, if scorers aren't scoring the ball, they got to find ways to impact the game in other areas. Do you feel like he's impacting the game in other areas?
Sure.
Which areas do you feel like he's...
I'm not going down this line with you.
Okay, what was that about?
Someone's awful testy.
Why is he so... I mean, he sounds like such a baby. That was not an out-of-line of questioning, in my opinion.
I don't think so either, and I don't understand it. You know, after that, I happened to pass him as I was leaving the locker room, and he called me into his office, and he really laid into me and felt that they were unfair questions to him and to CJ. But let's face it, right now, that has been one of the biggest storylines of the season is CJ's play, and I felt like after that game, I needed to ask him where he stood on CJ. You know, is there something, is he doing something more than what we're seeing? Because this goes, I mean, Terry and I don't have a great relationship. And he, I don't know if he takes pleasure, but he has no problem calling me out in front of other people. So for instance, earlier this year, I wrote that Seth Curry was, playing his way out of the rotation, and I listed a few things that he did in the game at Houston, and one of those was he made a crucial fourth quarter inbounds turnover. And the next night in Memphis, Terry gets done with his pregame show, and he says in front of everyone, and by the way, the inbounds turnover wasn't Seth's fault, so don't pin that on him. And then he storms off. So with that in mind, I'm like, okay, sure, you want to play that game? Then you want to say that CJ, hey, you can't tie everything into his shooting percentage, then okay, how's he making an impact on the game? Or is he making an impact in other areas of the game? He says, sure. Okay, what are those? He doesn't have an answer. So, you know, in my defense, I got to say, hey, you're saying I don't see the whole game because you're saying Seth Curry wasn't at fault for a turnover, key turnover in the fourth quarter, then that leads me to believe then you think that maybe CJ, I'm not seeing things with CJ, or other people aren't seeing things with CJ. Why do you keep playing him if he's not bringing something to the table? What is he bringing to the table? Because I think this, you know, look, CJ played really well last night, but I think a big thing with this team, the season and moving forward is he a guy you want to build around? And I just think that the organization needs to look at that.
Well, the answer is clearly no.
Well, and anytime, look, it's universal, right? Anytime you ask anyone a question and they get defensive about it, look, there's an element of truth to it. No one gets defensive about a question that they don't take to heart.
They're just so sensitive over there. Yeah. And so obviously you've touched on something. And I think it's pretty obvious that CJ is not a building block. As a matter of fact, I think the debate is now with Nurkic playing so well, is that your second best player?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question there. I mean, Nurk's been incredible, and he's doing it on both ends of the floor. His defense has been really top-notch as well. And I think it pains me to see how hard the team is promoting CJ for the All-Star game, and they haven't said one word about Nurk, and Nurk is 10 times more deserving to be in the All-Star game than CJ right now based on his play. And I just think that could be – I don't think Nurk takes any disrespect to it, but I think it's not great optics. You know, during the game they have all these promos, and online they have this, you know, vote for CJ campaign, and not a thing for Nurk. And Nurk is very, very deserving. I don't know if Nurk will get in because there's a lot of good bigs out there, you know, Jokic in Denver, Carl Anthony Towns in Minnesota, you know, Anthony Davis. So I don't know if he'll get in, but he's certainly very deserving. So I think he is the second most important Blazer right now.
It is kind of cute, the Napoleon Dynamite thing, though. Come on, give credit where credit's due.
I'm not following you on that.
I don't know what you're talking about. You haven't seen the
CJ. The Blazers put out, as part of their promo, they put out like a Napoleon Dynamite vote for CJ, you know, sort of thing for the All-Star. You haven't seen
that. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been following. I saw those and then I just scroll past because. Yep,
me too. Yeah.
Yeah, those are reasons I just gave you.
Exactly. It's like they picked such a wrong year. It's just odd that
there's a big push, arguably having, I'd say, you know, the first year or two is a struggle, but certainly it's not a banner year, and it feels like this is by far the biggest push they've tried to give him. Does that come from anywhere other than the organization? Is there something to, can a player kind of go to the organization and say like, hey, how about a little push, or where does that even come from?
Bro, I don't know. Certainly, I think a player and his agent can plant a seed. I think maybe, you know, like an off-season things like, hey, we didn't feel like you promoted very well. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that happened with CJ. I would doubt it. I think it's just an indication of how strongly the organization feels about CJ. And I've told you guys a million times how much Neil Olshey loves CJ McCollum. And I think the way the team is promoting him right now is an indication of that.
Well, I think he's vastly overrated. I think he's a hell of a scorer. He's really silky when he is on fire, but man,
bro,
he is just, I think the NBA is littered with guys like that. But anyway,
there's a lot of good scorers now in the NBA.
Yeah. It's just like dime a dozen. You got to affect, like you were talking about with Terry Stotts, you got to affect games in other ways, and he just doesn't. And that's just, it's his limitations.
The other guy I want to ask you about, because we knew going into the season, CJ was a big one. The other one was the development of Zach Collins and some big moments early. Just here we are, what, 40 games in. Your thoughts on year two of Zach Collins?
It's been a disappointment. You know, Zach was great last night, though. That was the old Zach, the Zach from the first 2-3 weeks of the season, when I think he was a real catalyst to the team starting 10-3, is because he would come in that second unit, and it was hard to take him off the court because of his defense, because of his offense. But since then, he's nosedived. His defense has been not very good. His three-point shot has totally deserted him. He's at around 31% now, I think. And he's just looked kind of out of sorts. I think about once a game he gets a illegal pick for a turnover. And it's just been a frustrating kind of stretch for him. But I think last night was the most we've seen him look like he did early in the season, where he was kind of a defensive force, looked confident, and was hitting his shots on offense. And if they can get him to play like that for the second half of the season, then I think this team could, you know, snatch a 4 seed in the West, because they need that element of a defensive guy in that second unit. I think with Seth Curry now kind of cementing himself as a shooter and a scorer with that second unit, if they can get a defensive element as well, that would really help shore up their entire team.
All right, Quicker. Thanks for the Blazers report. Stay strong out there.
You bet. All right, we'll see you next week.
Okay.